Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So did you watch the big championship this weekend? David Reed, did you see the big championship? The champion was crowned this weekend. Did you see it?
I can't for the life of me figure out what you're talking about.
The UFL championship this weekend?
No, I missed that one, man.
So on Friday night, after the show was over, and after I had completed 21 hours of radio in 3 days, not to brag on myself, but that is quite the task. After having completed 21 hours of radio in 3 days, I had me a gummy cola, and Lindsay and I went out. We were watching Louisville play baseball on TV. And I saw at the bottom of the screen on ESPN where the College World Series was being broadcast. Tough loss for the Cards on Friday night, by the way. But I saw at the bottom of the screen, UFL Championship on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I was watching SportsCenter. And in between NHL talk and Major League Baseball talk and, of course, NBA talk, there was a, oh, by the way, the UFL Championship was yesterday. And here's two highlights in Jordan Te'amu was the MVP. And on Friday night, when I saw on the bottom of the screen, UFL championship game tomorrow, I thought to myself, you know, that UFL is completely useless. Mike Florio writes articles about it at Pro Football Talk, about how nobody watches the UFL and nobody goes to the UFL games and the league's probably not making any money. And if you remember, this whole league thing started because the TV networks are desperately trying to get football on during the spring. We originally had the XFL and the AAF, and then that folded because the AAF lost all its money, and then COVID ruined the XFL. And then we had the USFL return. Fox tried to get behind that. And then The Rock brought back the XFL. And then the XFL and the USFL merged. And I don't think all the while with any of this going on, I watched a single one of these games, to be completely frank. But I know that there is, I think, an appetite for some spring football. It's just not this that they're putting out there. And so considering that I don't think anybody watched the UFL championship game on Saturday, again, I didn't watch it, and I'm sure most of you didn't watch it. And again, I'm not crapping on the UFL just to crap on it, because I don't care enough about the UFL to crap on the UFL. This is what I thought Friday night, and this is what I firmly believe. ESPN is acquiring the NFL Network. So soon enough, NFL Network, it'll probably have the same graphics. It'll have the same name. It'll have the same studio. It'll have Rich Eisen and Michael Irvin. No, you. And all those guys you love, Kurt Warner, whomever. And it'll have similar programming and everything else, but it'll be owned by ESPN. And this is a massive, massive, massive billion-dollar deal that is going to go down here. And with ESPN acquiring the NFL Network, I think the NFL has the money to do what they really need to do, and that is they need to take control of one of these spring leagues, and the only spring league we have right now is the UFL. They need to take control of the UFL, and they need to make it their spring league and, more importantly, their de facto minor league. Every other pro sport has a minor leagues. There is AAA baseball, AA baseball, high A baseball, low A baseball. There is all kinds of minor league baseball. We all know about it. There is the G League in basketball. There is the American Hockey League, or the OHL and juniors in the NHL. But there's really no minor league football. Now, yes, Division I college football is absolutely the minor leagues. But I'm talking about developing guys who are a little bit older than 21 and 22 years old. And every time this has come up in the past about, hey, you want somebody to give a rat's ass about these spring leagues? Get NFL players in them. Every time this seems to come up, the NFL's response, and I think this ultimately boils down to cheap teams like the Bengals don't want to have to pay any money in order to do this. And there's a lot that goes into it. You got to pay coaches and you got to pay for facilities and you got to pay trainers and you got to pay players and you got to all this stuff. But what I think they what their argument always is, well, we don't want to ask our guys to play a whole season and then to go play a whole nother season. But I'm not asking for Derrick Henry to go play minor league football. I'm not asking for Jaden Daniels to go play minor league football or Josh Allen, either one of them. Josh Allen from the Bills, Josh Hines Allen from the Jags. I'm not asking for either one of them to play minor league football. I'm looking at the guys who I believe, you know, need an opportunity to develop their skills, even though they're already in the NFL. Guys that, no disrespect, they're better than Jordan Ta'amu, like Trey Lance or Malik Willis or Anthony Richardson or even Will Levis. And I think more people would care about the spring football league if it were tied to your team. I mean, imagine if the Titans sent out 10 guys to the minor leagues and they said, okay, these guys are going to play in the UFL. And the UFL is on every Saturday and every Sunday as soon as the NFL season is over. So they announce it at the beginning of the playoffs. Okay, here are the 10 guys, and you can take guys signed to future contracts. You could say these are the 10 guys that are going from our team to whatever. The Gettysburg Cougars. And let's say Will Levis was going to go play quarterback this upcoming year so that he could improve. Don't you think you would care more than the 0% that it feels like everybody cares about when it comes to the UFL? And I really believe that I think there's a market for spring football. It just needs the NFL behind it. It doesn't need the NFL's blessing. I think the spring football leagues, for the most part, have the NFL's blessing, but they need the NFL's investment. College football doesn't have the NFL's investment, but they have the NFL's interest, because even if you're not a huge college guy, and there's a lot of cities around the country that are not like ours where we're big NFL and big college people, but there's a lot of cities, Boston, Chicago, around the country that are not big college sports, college football towns. But they're kind of interested in college football if for no other reason because they're going to draft these players into the pros. Well, could you imagine if every NFL fan base during the spring had guys developing that clearly if the team is going to invest in sending them to play spring football, they may have a chance to make the team. They may have a chance to get better so that they can help the team. I mean, could you imagine going up to Bill Callahan and saying, hey, Bill, we're going to be able to send some of your guys because you only get 10 padded practices or whatever it is during training camp, and you get 3 preseason games, and then you get 17 games, and you hope you only use 5 guys on the offensive line. So, Bill, we're going to send the guys that you want to develop, we're going to send them off to the UFL, and they're going to be able to play offensive line. Do you think Bill Callahan would be sitting there saying, oh, whoa, I don't want to tire John Ojukwu out? Or do you think he'd say, hell yes, get him out there, get him the reps, get him the live bullets? So, again, not to crap on the UFL, I'm just saying, when I saw on the bottom of the screen during the College World Series, real competition, I saw tomorrow, and I don't even remember what time it was, like 2 p.m., 3 p.m., whatever. Tomorrow, 2 p.m., UFL Championship. I thought not one person on the planet is going to watch this UFL Championship game. But that there is a real opportunity, a real one, as far as spring football is concerned, if the NFL gets behind it and gets invested in it. And I don't want to hear the excuse. Again, I'm not asking you to send the good players to go play in the UFL. Amani Hooker and Calvin Ridley do not need to go play in the UFL. And, of course, it would be voluntary. But at the same time, don't you think Jalen Harrell could use some reps in the UFL? Cedric Gray, who didn't play last year, could use some reps in the UFL. So NFL, I know you have a bunch of cheap ass owners like the Bengals and like Jerry Jones and surprisingly the Steelers who have been going on the cheap lately. I know you got cheap owners, but you're getting that money from selling NFL Network. Let's put it behind this spring league so that then you own that spring league and you can make more TV money off of the spring league and you give us and the fans a reason to get excited about it because our teams will be involved. That's all I'm asking. 615-737-1025. So, again, that's my big thesis right there is let's get the NFL involved in the spring league. Now, I can't believe I did this, but I actually went through of, okay, let's say tomorrow I become the king of the world, which would be very nice. And I had the power to make the NFL get involved with this spring league. Here's what I think I would do with it. And I've been thinking a lot about this, so we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman & Company, 1025-106 for the game.
I guess good for maybe the interest in Will during the draft and just him still being on roster. What does that say about his value with the team?
It's a lot of value. I think there's going to be competition in every room, and he elevates the competition in that room. That's what we're trying to do here as we get into training camp is have the best 90-man roster, best competition in every room, and Will certainly provides that.
Was there an attempt to move him during the draft?
It was not.
Okay, so there you go. That was Mike Borgonzi after the draft saying, hell, you know, Will's a developer in the room. We're trying to work on Will Levis. We're trying to blah, blah, blah. No, we didn't do that. So, again, I don't know where Will Levis really fits into all of this, but my big theory here is that Spring League, that UFL, that I remember when the AAF first started in 2019, when we first, you know, really went all in on spring football again, or maybe it was 2020 and the XFL came back, or whatever. And I remember, like, people watch that stuff now. I remember Floyd got into it, was, like, talking about the players and the quarterbacks and things like that. But even he said, the NFL needs to be involved when it comes to these spring leagues. Now, the NFL doesn't want to do it. And, David Reed, you'll never guess why the NFL doesn't want to do it.
This is according to Floyd? Or just
No. This is just why the NFL won't do it.
Well, they don't want the competition.
Well, I was going to say it's the money.
Oh, investing the money? Oh, yeah, no, they're not going to come off that wallet. Come on now.
They don't want to have to pay what it'll cost in order to run that spring league. But I just think with all the money they've got, hey, if you own that spring league, you're selling, you know, again, your minor leagues, you're selling that and you're going to make some money off of that. People are going to watch. If, again, the Titans had a tie-in to one of these teams and they could send 10 players, I think I'd watch. So here's my theory on how they should build the UFL minor leagues with NFL ownership. I think they should have an 8-team league. And we can go east and west, you know, for a playoffs or whatever. I don't care. But 4 teams per affiliate. And it would be simple to say, you know, let's do it by division, but I don't want to do that. Let's go geographically. And I mean truly geographically, not Dallas in the east, because, well, it's just the rivalry and old time's sake and everything else. So let's put these teams together. And I asked ChatGPT. I said, can you put these teams together? Can you give me an NFL in which all the divisions are truly designed by geography? And I actually like what they've come up with. So, for instance, the Titans would have a team in this, again, UFL, that would be comprised of players from the Titans, the Texans, the Cowboys, and the Saints, and that would be the South Central Division. For instance, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Indy, that's the South Atlantic Division. The Pacific Division, San Francisco, the Rams, the Chargers, Seattle, again, makes sense to me. The Mountain West, Denver, Arizona, Vegas, makes sense to me. Kansas City. So that's what I would do. Again, if I... And I think people would watch a spring league. So that's the first thing. So that's how we figure out the teams. And again, we have 8 teams. And so let's do 8 games. 4 home games, 4 road games. And each team would play a home game in the city of one of its affiliates. So there would be one of these UFL games in Nashville. And it would involve the team that the Titans, the Cowboys, the Saints, and the Texans have put together. And each team sends 9 players to this league, plus the option for 1 quarterback. That's 40 players. Now, you can't send 10 players. You can only send 9 players and a quarterback. So if, let's say, you don't want to send a quarterback, then you don't have to. But you only send 9 players. That's 40 players. Then we'll add 13 players per team, and the league will split the cost on paying these guys, but that will add 13 players per team that can be added. Each team can send 1 coach off the coaching staff to be a coach of these teams. And here's, for example, here are the players. I did this morning, that if I were the Titans, and again, this is the Jared Stillman UFL model, which is essentially an NFL minor league. Here are the 9 players plus quarterback that I would send to the UFL. Number 1, Jalen Duncan, the left tackle. He needs more reps. They say he's a project. I think he sucks. I don't think he's going to be any good, but let's let him play some minor league football and let's try to coach him up. Jalen Harrell, left tackle. Excuse me, Jalen Duncan. Jalen Harrell, outside backer, 7th round pick last year, flashed a little bit during camp, didn't really play a lot during the season. Let's send him out there. He's probably going to start on that minor league team out there and get a lot of reps. Cedric Gray, inside linebacker, last year was hurt. They drafted him in the 4th round. He didn't play much. Let's put Cedric Gray out there because Cedric Gray needs the reps. Bryce Oliver, wide receiver. Again, these guys are going to miss all your offseason program, but that's okay. Bryce Oliver, I've said, hey, he competes well in practice. He competes well in the preseason. He did some nice things during the games last year. Let's put him out there in the UFL. Andrew Rupchich, a guard who plays, it feels like, every year by necessity. He is always out there for the Titans in the preseason, but that's only 3 games of experience. Let's let him get out there and take 50, 60 reps in a UFL game so that he can get better when he shows up for training camp. Jaquan Jackson, the wide receiver. You know, Jaquan Jackson, he's a forgotten guy around here. He has caught the football so far in the mini camp and in OTAs and everything else. Let's put him back out there at punt returner and see if he can actually catch the ball, or we can teach him how to catch the ball so that he can make a difference. And again, let's get him some receiver reps because he's not going to get a lot of them with the Titans. And let's try to make him a better player. And then again, if it doesn't work, so be it. Gabe Judy-Lally, the defensive back. The Titans had him playing a lot of snaps in minicamp this year, minicamp last year, with the number ones, played a lot in the preseason, didn't play much during the season. They brought him back for some reason. Let's stick him out there, get him some minor league reps. David Martin Robinson, the tight end. James Williams, the inside linebacker, special teams player. That's 9. What's the rule? 9 plus a quarterback, Will Levis. And if you were to do this, my guess is, and all the players can refuse an assignment to the UFL if they want to. Not going to force anybody to go there. My guess is the Saints, on the same team as you, they're probably sending Spencer Rattler. So Levis isn't going to play 8 games. But Levis will play a significant amount and get snaps with what you would assume would be a better offensive line of minor leaguers against minor league pass rush. And let's let him work out some kinks. Again, 8 teams. You play 4 games at home, 4 games on the road. And so there'd be 1 game in Nashville, 1 game in Houston, 1 game in Dallas, and 1 game in New Orleans. And the team can decide wherever they want to play the games. So the Titans can decide, hey, we have 1 UFL game. We're going to have 10 of our guys in this. Let's play it at Nissan Stadium, and maybe we'll sell 10,000 tickets. Or let's play it at Vanderbilt, where there's less seats, and it'll be more packed, but let's do that. If the Dallas Cowboys want to play at the Star, their practice facility that Jerry spent all that money on, they can play at the Star. Again, you play wherever you want. If New Orleans wants to play at Tulane, they can. If Houston wants to play at the University of Houston Stadium, or if they want to play at Minute Maid Park, or I guess you can't do that in a spring league, but if you want to play at NRG Stadium, be my guest. I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing here. Because it's not exactly like the people of Birmingham are sitting there saying, oh man, Stallions football. So let's just do this. Again, tell me how it could be any worse than what it is now. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ellie has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Ellie, thank you for calling. Ellie, go ahead.
No, I agree. And they should make it like a quarterback development league, so give some more interest to teams. You know, don't let them tackle the quarterback. They maybe have like a flag or something so they don't get injured and insurance policies won't have to be too high. The second thing is I think they can only play 7 games. And the third thing is they would have to move their draft up a month to get more people involved, possibly maybe some draft picks or a quarterback they think is going to be good but needs this development.
So I don't want draft picks in there because they've been training for the draft. And I appreciate your call, Ellie. I thought a lot about this morning. I don't like the idea of draft picks playing. Because if the Titans had draft picks playing in this, you know, then they're or UDFAs, then the UDFA corners they spent a bunch of money on, I'd say send them out there. Restrepo, I'd say send him out there. For all you people that just freaking love Restrepo, send him out there. But I don't want draft. Those guys are training for the draft. They're not training to compete in football. So I'm not putting them out there. I did think of the one that I thought about a lot today when it came to that was Quinn Ewers. I'm like, Ewers needs to play in the UFL. But he's a draft pick, so he can't this year. And I think that all the quarterbacks that go should have to be on their rookie contracts. So once you sign a second contract in the league, you are ineligible from playing in the UFL. And again, I would say you'd see a guy like Spencer Rattler there. You'd see a guy, again, so the Titans are on a team where it's 10 Titans, 10 Cowboys, 10 Saints, 10 Texans. I don't know if the Texans would send a quarterback or not. They're certainly not going to send C.J. Stroud. So if the Texans don't send a quarterback, then there's only 9 Texans. There's 3 quarterbacks. Dallas is sending Joe Milton to play in this league. Absolutely, they're sending Joe Milton. New Orleans is absolutely sending Spencer Rattler to play in this league. And you are absolutely sending Will Levis. Last year, you would have sent Malik Willis. So, I'm just saying, this is my theory as far as the UFL is concerned. Apparently, a lot of people want to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. We'll hit your phones on this next. Again, Jared's Furkacta UFL idea. And I do have the other teams. So, again, I said, let's do this. Instead of, you know, by division, let's do this by pure geography. And so the Titans will be on a team with the Texans, the Cowboys, and the Saints. What would the other ones look like? We'll hit on that next. And your phone, Stillman & Company, 1025-106 for the game. Stillman & Company here on what is usually a Reaction Monday. I got to say this. So this is my theory. Again, I was watching the Louisville-Oregon State baseball game on Friday night. And I saw at the bottom of the screen, UFL Championship tomorrow. You know, the UFL is the new spring league. You know, again, we've had about 15 different names for these different spring leagues. And nobody gives a rat's ass about the UFL. My theory is the NFL needs to get invested. They need to make it a minor league. And so what you do is you take 8 teams, 4 NFL affiliates per, or 4 NFL teams per affiliate, and each team sends 9 guys plus a quarterback. If they choose to send a quarterback, you play 8 games, 1 at home, or 4 on the road, 4 at home. And so each NFL city gets a game with their home team there. And then we can have an East-West playoff or whatever. But I want to do the divisions. I actually want to do them via, you know, the way that you would geographically. I want to make it easier on everybody, so we're going to do this geographically. So here you go. Here's the Northeast Division. New England, the Jets, the Giants, the Bills. The Mid-Atlantic Division. Again, this is another team. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington. The Southeast, which is really Florida and Carolina, Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville, Carolina, the South Central, Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, and Tennessee, South Atlantic, Atlanta, Cincy, Cleveland, Indy, Great Lakes, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. So that's basically the NFC North. The Mountain West, Denver, Arizona, Vegas, and the Chiefs. And the Pacific, San Francisco, the Rams, the Chargers, and the Seahawks. There you go. And I think it'd be great. I mean, I think I would care if Will Levis was playing quarterback, if Jalen Duncan was playing left tackle, if Jalen Harrell was rushing the passer, if Bryce Oliver was playing wide receiver, if David Martin Robinson was playing tight end, if Cedric Gray was playing inside backer. And what you really can do is it allows you to get reps for guys. Cedric Gray is a perfect example of this spring league. He got no reps last season. Well, now he can make up for that in the spring league, in the UFL. Kevin says, damn, Stilly, you're making too much sense, buddy. I might stroke out. I also believe the UFL could pay a little bit more to grab some of the few kids that can't hack it in college with the student life. When's the last time you heard of a college student not having the grades to play? I think those days of that kind of stuff ever mattering, I think that stuff is over. So I don't think, again, no college kids. These have to be NFL players that are, and you could put UDFAs in there. You know, if you're Xavier Restrepo and you run a 4.8 4.40 and you don't get drafted, would you rather go to an NFL team in the offseason program or go sign as one of the 13 players on this UFL team and try to play your way into an NFL camp? Let's go to Steven, who's up next here on our program. Steven, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Jared, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I like where your head's at. No offense, but a long time ago, I didn't really like listening to you, but I wasn't listening to the radio a lot recently, but here lately, you've been on fire. I appreciate the attitude. I think there was something with Cam Ward drafting him that you stood your ground and didn't just jump on the bandwagon with what everybody was saying. And anyway, I like where your head's at on this idea for player development, and I think that's a real big need. I know with our franchise, the Titans, you know, maybe Stephen Harris spoiled us with a quarterback that could get beat up and just come back for more. But I've thought since Mariota, at least, that we just chew up quarterbacks and spit them out and didn't give him what he needed. And I think he proved me right here recently. So anyway, those are my comments. I'm really enjoying it. And thanks a lot.
Thank you for your call. Those are really, really kind words. You know, I have I really enjoy what I do. That being said, I mean, if I have an opinion, I have it, and I'm not changing the opinion. I thought they should have gotten the draft picks from the Giants, though I have heard that supposedly, and I don't know if I believe this or not, but I have heard that the Giants draft pick offer, you know, I think it was Kaharski said 2 ones and 2 twos. Adam Schefter said it was a 1 this year and a 1 next year and a 2 this year and more after that. I've been made aware of the possibility. I'm trying to think of the right way to say this here. I've been told that the Giants did not offer 2 number 1 picks. I don't know if it's true or not. No idea. And if that's the case, then it kind of changes my opinion. But for the most part, I stood firm, and I do appreciate the caller bringing up the fact that pretty much everybody else went from, these quarterbacks suck, this quarterback class is terrible, to Cam Ward's our guy. And, you know, I don't feel like I've really changed much. That did happen to me with Mariota. Trevor texted me. Trevor Maddich said the UFL is a great idea. Every practice squad and bubble guy should beg to play, as well as every backup quarterback. NFL Europe did this, and it helped out the quarterbacks. Now, I will say this. If you do this, Kevin Daft was the third-string quarterback on the 1999 Titans. And Kevin Daft went to NFL Europe, and he played it. And this is, by the way, this is exactly what I'm basing a lot of this off of, is NFL Europe in 2025 terms. Because you're not going to Europe for this. You're going to play this in the States. But Kevin Daft went to NFL Europe, and the Titans needed a quarterback for rookie minicamp, because obviously McNair and Neil O'Donnell aren't going to be at rookie minicamp, so they signed Billy Volek. And then Billy Volek beat out Kevin Daft. So there's going to be some of those kind of stories. But again, cream rises to the top, man. Like, and so I believe, like, hey, if you're Will Levis, wouldn't you like to go play in the UFL and kind of gain back your confidence and so on and so forth? Jared from Spring Hill says, I like this idea and the organization of it, but I'm not sure how much I would watch. But nothing wrong with providing places for players to get reps. And it should not be voluntary. It's an assignment from a team. It's minor league ball. It's not voluntary. If it's voluntary, I don't know how many guys would go. Do you think Joe Milton would not want to go play ball in this league? Again, if you're doing this for 3 months and you're playing four games a month or whatever it is, Joe Milton's probably going to start and get a half in one game. And then Spencer Rattler will come in and get the second half in the next game. And then Will Levis will start the next game. And then in comes Joe Milton. And then Rattler starts and in comes Levis. And then it would be some sort of rotation. And you're telling me you wouldn't watch that? Like, in all seriousness, you wouldn't watch that. I mean, I think a lot of people would watch that. One texter says, people don't watch because the players already suck in the first place. It's not like they don't go because they aren't NFL affiliated. Again, but none of these guys, for the most part, there might be a kicker who goes from the UFL and plays on the Titans. But there is nothing. I don't even know which teams played. Other than Jordan Ta'amu, I don't know of anybody who played in a game on Saturday. I didn't watch a game on Saturday. I only know it was in St. Louis because I said on Sirius yesterday, it looked like it was in Atlanta. I have no idea where it was. And one of the producers told me it was in St. Louis. I don't know who played. I don't know who's on the teams. I don't know any of that. Because, again, none of those guys are going to play on the Titans, so what do I care? I want to see the guys that are going to play. If you put 10 Titan players out there, does that not change your opinion? Again, we're talking about right tackle. Let's go back to last year. Remember, Bill Callahan will fix it. Well, let's put PT out there at right tackle, and let's watch him play in that UFL. And I bet PT would have been so bad that you people would not have said, and them, Carthon and Callahan and Bill Callahan, they would have said, we need to get a backup plan in here for right tackle. Josh says, so what about the guys playing in the UFL now? Where do they get to play? See ya. Again, there are 13 spots per team, and there's 8 teams. So let me take out my phone here, and let me, let me do the math here on this. So 13 players times 8, that's 104 guys that will not be affiliated with teams that'll get a crack on these teams. That's good enough for me. One texter says, how closely would the UFL mimic the AHL system? Well, I don't really know the AHL system, so I'm going to guess your bet's as good as mine. Your call on that one, not me. One texter says, are the players that are going from each team going to be under contract so that you cannot lose them to another organization? Yes. So again, the players I picked for the Titans in this philosophical UFL minor league NFL affiliation would be Will Levis under contract, Jalen Duncan under contract, Jalen Harrell under contract, Cedric Gray under contract, Bryce Oliver under contract, Andrew Rupschitz under contract, Jaquan Jackson, Gabe Judy Lawling, David Martin Robinson, James Williams, all under contract. That's the point. Now, the 13 guys that go, they would be fair game. And it would not surprise me if there's a guy that is unaffiliated, that plays really well, and one of, because again, each team can send one coach to coach on the staff, and they're calling back and saying, hey, Johnny Joseph, the undrafted guy, we kind of like that of Missouri Tech, he's on our team, and we need to go get him signed today because we need Johnny Joseph on our roster. And I think there might be, you know, a couple of instances of that. Devin for Dover says, Jared Stillman for UFL commissioner. Let me just say this, and I know Jeff Fisher's got a lot more football experience than I have, but if he could be Arena League commissioner, maybe I can be UFL commissioner. What they would do in this instance is, I bet you, again, the NFL is owning the league in my philosophical, this is what we're going to do, UFL, spring, minor league, NFL, whatever. Troy Vincent, who is the right-hand man to Roger Goodell, he would be the one who's in charge of the UFL. But then I think you'd have the NFL. One text says they would be paid for this, correct? Yes, they would be. Can't ask guys to work more and not pay them. One text says it would be like watching a mini season of preseason quality games, except the teams are kind of shuffled around with each other, but I'm all for it. Again, I'm telling you, like, and aren't there going to be some guys that maybe are Cowboys or Texans or Saints that if we're watching the Titans play every week, we're watching 10 Titans, 10 Cowboys, 10 Saints, 10 Texans, that we're like, yo, did you see this? Johnny Joseph has hit the waiver wire. I think we need to claim him. He looked pretty good out there. So I'm all for this idea. Again, this idea that was hatched by me. I mean, again, it's not the first person that ever thought about anything like this, but definitely kind of, I'm into it. 615-737-1025, more of your phones. Plus, Adam Vingan, he must be listening on delay, because Adam Vingan has already texted me all mad about something that was said in the 2 o'clock hour. So we may have to hit on this as well. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
In 2 months, UC Soros gets not only a pay raise, but he's locked into an 8-year contract. Mm-hmm. He's had 3 years of declining numbers. What's your level of concern as that's about to kick in?
Well, I think my concern, obviously, I 5-on-5 is, or the way you play in front of your goaltender is paramount. Every team, you can take a goaltender, you can take, the Vezina Trophy winner, the top guys in our team in the league right now, and put them on our group this year. I think they would have declining numbers too. That's how I feel. So I believe I have a lot of trust in Juice. Juice has an ability, he still moves very, very well. I think there's lots of tread on the tire.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz. So Adam Vingan must be listening back to the show, because Adam Vingan sent me a text at 3:41, and I believe it was like 2:30 when we had the discussion about, hey, I want to trade you. You all know me. You all know I've wanted to trade UC Soros forever. So my theory is, I hope that Florida's going to win the cup tomorrow. I hope Florida goes out and just absolutely lights up Edmonton puts a six piece on Stuart Skinner, to where Edmonton says, we have to trade for a goalie. We have to. We have to get a goalie. And then you trade them Soros and you get out from that terrible contract. Again, I think Soros, doesn't he have a fairly decent reputation as the NHL's concerned? So everybody wins. And I said, let's do Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Let's do Soros plus a second rounder for Ryan Nugent Hopkins and Stuart Skinner, and let's call it a day. And Adam is like, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, who does have a no move, Ryan Nugent Hopkins would absolutely say no to that deal. Why would he say yes to that? Again, Soros has to say yes to this, but I think you can talk Soros up on, hey, you're going to go play with Connor McDavid on a team that's been to 2 straight Stanley Cups. So here's why I think Ryan Nugent Hopkins would do it. He's 32 years old, and he's making $5 million for the next 4 years. You want to be taxed at 52%? Or do you want to come to Tennessee and be taxed at like 30% and make a lot more money? Again, this isn't the NFL, and he's not a quarterback where he's making $50 million, so the state taxes are negligible. Income tax does matter in hockey. And if Nugent Hopkins doesn't want to do it, fine. We'll find a couple other contracts on there to make a trade for. But the big picture here when it comes to my hypothetical UC Soros trade is, I just want to get rid of Soros, because I don't think he's very good, and I think the Predators think that he's better than he is, and he never wins any big games. He never wins a playoff series. So I'm ready to move on. And I was ready to move on before they gave him the contract and before he had the horrendous season that he had this past year. So if Nugent Hopkins doesn't want to do it, fine, we'll go get somebody else. figure it out. But that was just my first idea. And I think that the state tax, maybe Nugent Hopkins would say, okay, now go play with Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, Yossi, Forsberg, and let's give it a whirl. And Stuart Skinner's a net, which, again, I think he kind of sucks, but I can live with that. So, again, just here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to come up with solutions. We all know the problems. I'm trying to come up with solutions. Every time I bring up a solution, let's fire Andrew Burnett and hire Peter DeBoer. Oh, no, 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 can't do that. Let's trade UC Soros, who kind of sucks. At least he sucked last year. He never wins in the playoffs. Oh, no, 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 no. We can't do that. So what's the solution? Let's fire Andrew Burnett because he's lost the room. Oh, no, 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 no. Can't do that. So, Adam, you give me the solution. Ian, you give me the solution, you people who don't like this. Merle says, I love the idea of sending NFL players to the UFL, but there would have to be an injury contract for each player to cover injuries in case they are hurt and can't play in the NFL afterwards. My thing would be that, hey, you're going to be treated like an NFL player. Tear your ACL, fly them back to Nashville, and put them on IR. And so you're getting paid for the rest of the year, and if you want to cut somebody who has an injury in the UFL and they're playing under your contract, then you've got to come with an injury settlement. Now, that's a big reason why I think teams like the Bengals would say, no, 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 we're not doing this. We're not doing it. No, 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 no. That's kind of the issue there. Again, I've never heard of something that is so universally liked like my UFL-NFL idea. By the way, apparently the kid for Arkansas, Gage Wood, threw a no-hitter with 19 strikeouts, and if he didn't hit a batter in the eighth inning, he would have thrown a perfect game against Murray State.
And his last pitch was as fast as his first pitch.
Unbelievable. The first no-hitter in over 78 years of the College World Series and the first in 65 years, according to Mike Monaco, the one calling the game. Good for him. Again, I mean, like Louisville won yesterday. They got out of the loser's bracket. I mean, I'm going if they get to the College World Series final, but I'm also planning on going on the lake Saturday, which tells you that I don't plan on them making it. It is so hard in Omaha to get out of the loser's bracket. It is so hard. So good luck to Arkansas. And in all fairness, Arkansas, the number three team in the country, should beat Murray State. But, hey. Congratulations to Gage Wood throwing a no-no in the College World Series. 615-737-1025. So I'm not the bad guy with the cut that we're about to play. But a bunch of you people out there are not going to like it. We'll get to that next. Double to Company, 1025, 106 of the game.